My name is Paul and I'm an alcoholic. And it's so good to be with you and good to be sober this morning. And the risk of repeating myself, if I didn't get anything into this weekend, is because I didn't bring anything to put it in. It's been absolutely amazing. And the people, I'm a great believer that God works through people. People get people sober. I've never seen God at a meeting yet, but I see him in the face of every person sitting here this morning. And this table must have special powers because it's been shaking the truth out of me all weekend. You know what I mean? I said stuff up here I haven't said for years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm getting teary-eyed. Oh, my God. I see me up in front of the house for un-Irish activities. You know what I mean? Like, we hear you are crying in public in front of a group of men, you know? We're going to take away your Irish citizenship, you know? But... So please, you know, what happens here stays here. When you leave here, right? Yeah.
Many things.
Thank you. But it's been so freeing. So, and a lot of the stuff, you know, it's, you know, things come up for a reason. I used to say, why is this stuff coming up? My sponsor would say, because we got to take care of it. It's coming up for a reason. How did, what was the old way? Two bottles of Bushmills. Push it back down again. It's coming up for a reason, because God wants me to jettison it, move on, let it go, get free. You know, all these resentments we talked about this weekend, you know, making amends to be free in Alcoholics Anonymous. My dear friend Teddy, who lives down here, he's from Brooklyn. He used to always say, if you're going to eat crow in Alcoholics Anonymous, eat it when it's fresh. You know what I mean? Not when it's been laying the sidewalk for a couple of weeks. And this weekend, you know, just to have a clean slate, you know, our 10th step, what a great program we have, you know. I was looking at my daughter one time, my youngest girl, and she's playing with an Etch-a-Sketch. And she would draw a picture and then go, shh. I thought to myself, that's her 10th step in Alcoholics Anonymous. Stuff comes up. I talk to my sponsor. I pray on it. I try to help another alcoholic. I try to do different, love and tolerance. Clean slate. Alcoholics Anonymous gives me the ability to have a do-over on a daily basis. And this weekend I've tried and I've my best. You know, and I know anybody could have got up here and any man could have got up here this weekend. I was evidenced by last night when Landon and Ernie hit two home runs right out of the park. Anybody come. But I feel so blessed that God said this weekend to me, this is the first time I've ever done anything like this. I was so nervous. And I'm so blessed that God said, listen, I got a bunch of guys sitting around the egg campfire this weekend. Would you mind going down and sitting with them and talking about how it was, how you were, what happened, and how you are today? And the stories that I've heard this weekend around that egg campfire, men letting down our guards, being vulnerable was something very difficult for a guy like me to do. Irish stoic, keep everything in tight. And to be able to be open and vulnerable with five or six men I'd never met before in my life. If that's not the grace of God, I don't know what is, you know. So I'll be going home. My luggage is going to be a lot lighter going back to New York than it was coming down. And I thank you, man, for that, you know. And this weekend, you know, I was thinking, like, the guy's going to give me a broad canvas, talk about whatever you want. I'm like, you know. And I thought about Dr. Bob's prescription. In February 1937, he wrote a prescription. Trust God, clean house, help others. It doesn't get more simple than that. And that's what I tried to do this weekend, to talk about my spiritual journey. One of surrender to alcohol. Surrender to life on life's terms. Trusting in God. Cleaning house. My sponsor said to me, Paul, do you want the will of God in your life? I said, absolutely I do. He says, well, then you got to get rid of the stuff that's blocking the will of God in your life. You know what's blocking the will of God in your life? Not really. Resentments, harms, fears, defects of character and shortcomings. You're telling me you want a relationship with God, and I believe he wants a relationship with you. But until you get that stuff out of the way, I love that analogy we use in AA, the sunlight of the spirit. I was a shut-in. I had the blinds closed. I created a house like Dickens says, it was a bleak house, and the sun didn't shine very often. And these steps helped me open the blinds, let that sunlight of the Spirit in, and get rid of all of that stuff that seemed so important, all that, the bags of garbage that I've been carrying around from the schoolyard. And especially that one big bag of garbage. You're not good enough. Oh my God. Throw that thing in the garbage. Everyone in Alcoholics Anonymous is worth and value. I'm a great believer that Alcoholics Anonymous, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. And we all have worth and value here in AA. And to realize that I'm just, as my sponsor would say to me, Paul, you're just a log in the river. I was sharing that in our small group yesterday. My ego would tell me I am the river. No, I'm not. I'm just a log in the river. And you people have taught me to go with the flow. Stop trying to push against the river. Just go with the flow. And once in a while you get caught up in some weeds and stuff, then you get free again and you float on down the river. I love that analogy. Just go with the flow. God's plan for me is far greater than any plan I could ever come up with. You know, on my own spiritual journey, you know, and these things we talked about, these, I'm a great believer that the spiritual, there's physical laws of the universe and the spiritual laws of the universe. We talked a lot this weekend and the guys in the group about the forgiveness. Now, I would never try, I mean, I love the way this program is set up. The steps, the spiritual journey of the steps. I only ever heard Father Martin speak one time. Years ago, maybe some of the old timers, the chalk talk, he spoke up at St. John's University. And he was saying when he was sharing, he said about the priest, he said, look at the seventh step. You walk into AA and I see you happen to your first day, you look at the seventh step, you'd say, I don't know what humility is, and I don't know what him is, and I don't know what his shortcoming is. And your sponsor will say, don't worry about that, you're on step one. And then you go through the program, and guess what? By the time you get to step seven, you've got a degree of humility, you're building a relationship with him, and you might know what somebody else's shortcomings are, but you're starting to realize what your own are. And he said something that floored me. He says, this program is so perfect. Not only does it lay out the program, it records your progress as you go along. And that's so true. When we shared this weekend about resentments, it's no coincidence that the fourth step comes before the ninth step. I have to forgive my brother here before I can knock on this brother's door and ask him to forgive me. It's in forgiving that one's forgiven. And these people showed me how to do this. Now, the thing is, I would never try to cheat a physical law of the universe. I would never say, well, let's go to Florida. Maybe gravity doesn't work down there and step off the roof. But I have tried to cheat the spiritual laws of the universe. I will forgive him, but I'm not forgiving her. Never with this person. And our program says we have to get free. And I'm standing here this morning and I said, they're so blessed to be born in a time and place that is Alcoholics Anonymous. Like the prescription. When Bill Wilson went to see Dr. Bob for the last time before he died, and he went out to visit him in Akron, and Dr. Bob said to him, hey, Bill, he said two things. Let's you and I get buried like regular folks. I've been to both their graves. No mention of AA. If I was a founder of AA, it'd be like a neon sign. Triangle inside, circle. Co-founder buried right here. No? Not these guys. I've been to both their graves. Bill Wilson mentions his military service, and I thank him for that. No, Dr. Bob, no mention. And the other thing Dr. Bob said was, let's not louse this up with Freudian complexes that may be so appealing to the scientific mind, but of no place in AA. Let's keep it simple. My God, what great words. In 1950, when we had our first international convention, and it's been evidenced by this weekend here, AA was sort of like the Akron guys didn't like the New York guys, and the Cleveland guys didn't like the New York or the Akron guys. And somebody said to Bill Wilson, let's have a convention, and we can just see we're all just alcoholics getting along. We're just all the same. And that was the genesis for the first international convention, 1950. Just on this weekend, guys I never met before in my life, identify with them 100%. Alcoholics going through the daily struggle of trying to stay sober and practice these spiritual principles in our lives, in our homes. And Dr. Bob got up. He was sick. He was dying of cancer. He was a doctor. He knew he was dying, but he wanted to speak at that convention. And he got up and he pulled himself up to the podium and he spoke for 3 minutes. And he gave what one of our friends says. He gave the Gettysburg Address of Alcoholics Anonymous. Just like Abraham Lincoln, in about 280 words, give the whole raison d'etre for this beautiful country. Dr. Bob, in less than three minutes, said more than I have said here all weekend. And he said, let's not forget the guys that came before you. Let's not be too caught up in ourselves. Take them to a meet, give them a pat on the back. There was somebody there for you. You got to be there for somebody else. My God, how simple is that? And that's what I want to say to anybody this weekend, maybe somebody. Because I've been there in the early days of AA. We said, you're in the vestibule. You could go either way. You know, you're not fully in AA. You're not fully out there. Is this going to work for me? And, you know, what's going on here? And your disease is screaming in your ear. And you're at the turning point. And this weekend, anybody that's new, I hope, we talk about the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, this step, that step. You know, the hardest step in AA is the door step. And that's what I've seen these men doing here, talking about their sponsees. Why? If you remember in New York, there are Calvary Church where they used to have the Oxford group meetings that Bill Wilson went to. And they actually have AA meetings there now. And there was a guy was a great friend of AA, Sam Shoemaker. And he wrote that beautiful poem, Why I Stand at the Door. Why do we stand at the door? We're sober. We've got our lives together. We stand at the door to reach out into the darkness and take that trembling hand and help them over the hardest step into Alcoholics Anonymous. And why do we sit and share our experience, strength, and hope? Our book says we tell our stories to show the new person our way of life. And that's why I want to say, if you're new here this weekend and your way of life's not working, come all the way in, sit all the way down and try our way of life in Alcoholics Anonymous. And thank God, I think Bill Wilson was blessed with that from day one. Bill Wilson, if you're reading the doctor's opinion, talk a little bit about our 12th step here. Bill Wilson, it says in the doctor's opinion, before he even left that hospital, he wanted to talk with the other patients. It says he requested the privilege of speaking with the other patients. I mean, the jokes write themselves. Hold on a second. You mean the guy that's been detoxed here 3 times, he wants to talk to the patients? But it says in our literature, with serious misgiving, they allowed to happen. That was the foundation stone of AA. We didn't have steps. We didn't have traditions. We didn't have books. We didn't have anything. But we had each other. Bill Wilson, his steps weren't written, but he was trying to practice the 12th step. If Bill Wilson had a way that he was sober a year before he helped another alcoholic, we'd all be dead today. From day one, sharing what he had. And that's so true in my life, and I've seen it this weekend. If I'm not trying to help another alcoholic, what am I doing here? I'm working an 11-step program. You know what an 11-step program is for a guy like me? It's nothing more than a self-help program. It's a highly evolved self-help program, but it's all about me. That's why our program is so different. Our 12th step, we turn around and we reach back into the darkness and start to help our brothers and sisters in Alcoholics Anonymous. My dear friend, Jimmy L. from Brooklyn, I've maybe mentioned this weekend, he came off a wine gang in Brooklyn, And he used to say about spirituality, Jimmy would say, there's nothing more spiritual in this world than one human being helping another. And if that be spirituality, then Alcoholics Anonymous is the very essence of spirituality. Because we help each other for no other reason than to stay sober ourselves. As my dear friend, Brother Luke, I don't know if you know Brother Luke up in Gethsemane in Kentucky. And Brother Luke will say this, I'm going to let you into the big secret. If you're new in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm going to tell you the big secret. The game is rigged. The giver gets it all. And that's what I've saw this weekend. Giving, 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 looking nothing in return. And my own last sinner, it's not easy. Practice these principles in all your affairs. The guy shouted, but in here, no problem. I wonder how I'm going to be there when I'm checking in for the flight later on. You know, the halo that will be down around my ankles. But I'm so glad they've got practice these principles in all our affairs. I'll give you a story. I'm about 12 years sober. I sort of shared this a little bit in our together group. I'm about 12 years sober. I'm living in Rockaway Beach. We bought a house in Oceanside. And I'm in the house. It's the last night in the apartment. My wife and daughters are already in the new house. I'm just there to give the guy the keys, get the phone turned off. So I'm in the apartment. There's nothing in the apartment. Just a blow-up mattress and a phone. And me. And I'm laying there by 3 o'clock in the morning to have a heart attack. Now, let me give you a word of advice. If you're going to have a heart attack, don't have it in a blow-up mattress. Okay, that's number one. I'm rolling back and forth like a boated fish, and I finally get out of the blow-up mattress, and there's a phone there, but I'm such an alcoholic. I said, I want to see what I look like, and I crawl on my hands and knees down to the bathroom, and I pull myself up, and jeez, I look terrible, and my hands are shaking, and I phone, they bring me to the local hospital, Peninsula, and they're like, no, you got to take him to Long Island Jewish. They've got a 24-hour team on standby. We'll let you know that you're on your way. So back in the ambulance, off the Long Island Jewish Hospital. I know if you're not in the medical field, I've had that experience. You get bring you in, you're rushing you through the corridor and asking you all these questions on a scale of 1 to 10. What's the pain like? When did you get the symptoms? And the guy says to me, I see you, you got a crucifix around your neck. Are you a Catholic? I'm like, well, is it better if I'm Jewish? You know what I mean? Keep all my options open, you know, put them on the holic, you know, don't commit, you know. The doctor comes in, oy vey, can you believe this is happening to me? You know? So they bring me in anyway and get me up on the table, I flatline on the table. I'm dead for about 3 minutes. Had the whole after death, they're not going to go into that now. They bring me back, I heard this beautiful nurse saying, he's back online. Paul, you gave us a bit of a scare there. Now, why am I telling you this whole story? Turned out I had a problem from birth. They put a defibrillator in, 12 stents. And I'm leaving the hospital. And I'm telling anybody that listened, which wasn't many. I'm saying, you're looking at the new me. Between sobriety and then having this experience and this dying and being brought back to life, I'm not going to get annoyed in traffic anymore. I'm not going to get annoyed in the supermarket anymore. And for about a week, I was like the Dalai Lama of Long Island, you know? Somebody had cut me off. I'd be like, peace with you, my brother. I'm in no hurry. I've been to the other side. This is not that important. Go ahead if you must. And then you don't call your sponsor. You miss a couple of meetings and self returns. And it was just another reminder to me, this disease is on, it's like, that's all you got? That's all you got? Right over the top of it. And that's another reminder to me. I get a daily reprieve, not a lifetime pardon. you know? And I gotta, maybe that's the way it should be. It's one day at a time in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? And I think to myself, coming here and getting up this morning, this daily, I love in the 11th step, it says upon awakening. These guys, I'm so glad the big book written by alcoholics for alcoholics, make that connection right away. I was talking earlier on there, but in my job, I work for the New York City DOE, and I go to, I'm in special education. I go to children's houses that can't get to school. And all day long, you know, I'm checking my phone because maybe my supervisor is sending me a case or this. I could tell you within 5 minutes if I have a phone connection on my phone. And I remember thinking to myself, if I was as adroit checking my spiritual connection as I am my phone connection, I'd be in a lot better shape in AA. Because I could walk around here for days with no bars, totally oblivious. Just one more reminder of what's going on here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I think to God, I'm so glad the man that, oh my God, the man that helped me in Alcoholics Anonymous. When I come into AA, I wanted to get in the whole, like Bill Wilson with Evie Thatcher, I wanted to get in the whole theology. I grew up in Northern Ireland, let me tell you about what happened in God and all this here. And the guy stopped me dead in my tracks. He says, look at that second tradition. What's it say? A loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. You stick to that. And that's the truth. God working through people. That's been my experience. The help that I've gotten in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember thinking to myself and my little daughter. And this weekend I've had such beautiful moments of peace. Just walking around these beautiful grounds. I remember my youngest daughter, Dahlia. She's 6 and a half now. She's about 2 or 3. And she's crawling around the carpet playing with her toys. And every night again, she'd just come up. And I was just me and I'm watching over her, making sure she's all right. And she would pick up this toy and crawl around. And then every night again, she would crawl over and just climb up in my lap for a few seconds. And I'd give her some sugar and a kiss and Daddy loves you. And then she would just get back down again. And I thought to myself, if I in my limited way know how to express that love to that child, surely that must be the way it is the other way around with my Heavenly Father. It's gotta be. If I in my limited human way can pick that child up and just love on her and then let her go back in the carpet again, surely that's what my higher power is doing for me. Just sitting there watching me. And all he wants every now and again to come up and just give him a hug. And I've done some beautiful spiritual hugs this weekend. Reconnecting with my higher power. I think to myself, you know how blessed I am in Alcoholics Anonymous. This time of the year, my mother used to call from Ireland. If she could knew where I was, because I would go off the grid for months at a time. And just say, Paul, can you come home for Christmas this year? This before I was married. Mom, I'm coming home for Christmas. Like the song says, you can count on me. Christmas will come, Christmas will go with no show. Because you put a drink between me and you, you're always coming in second place. That's the nature of an alcoholic like me. I was able to get sober. A friend of mine talks about the golden memories of a sober life. Now, every day is not, you know, but like weekends like this, but my God. I was sharing earlier on with my friend. Thank God AA is not a meritocracy by where your good deeds out there. I shouldn't be here. Why did God get me sober? I'm going through the struggles I went through. And I'm sure there's people this weekend here struggling. But you know what AA has taught me, and especially this weekend? That turning point. When I was at that point in my come into Alcoholics Anonymous, and my sponsor would say to me, we're asking you to go forward. We're asking you to go into the unknown. But he says, you know what? When the unknown looks better than the known, you're ready to move on in AA. And that's where I was, and with these good people. I knew what was, I was standing at the turning point. I knew what was behind me. Hospitalizations, locked up, strapped down, broken promises, broken relationships. I know what's back here. I don't know what's forward, but these men are telling me that what's ahead of me is going to be a lot better than what was behind me. And I'm so glad. It's like that analogy. I'm sure a lot of you have seen that movie. I don't know which one is Indiana Jones, and he's got to step out over the thing, and you can't, it looks like there's nothing there, like only a chasm, and he has to step out, and sure enough, there's an invisible bridge. My God, is that not the journey in Alcoholics Anonymous? I don't know, but these guys are telling me, like going through that divorce, these guys have been through this, they're telling me to step forward, even though I can't see I'll be taken care of. And then getting these golden memories of a sober life in AA. Going back to Ireland, sobriety. I'm the first person in my family ever to be sober. There's alcoholism in my family, as far as the eye can see. I'll tell you a little story. I'm at on a wake in Ireland. If you were in a wake in Ireland, you have them in the house. The body's up in the front bedroom. I don't mean to be sexist. The women are all sitting in the kitchen, and the men are all sitting in the living room drinking. I'm just drinking at this stage, and I heard them talking back and forth, and somebody mentioned Uncle Bertie. I'm like, who's Uncle Bertie? My father, shh, don't, man. I'll talk to you later. So later on, I said, Dad, who's Uncle Bertie? Oh, yeah, he was an alcoholic. I said, what happened to him? This is the 1930s in Ireland. It's not like, you know, Victorian times. He was an alcoholic, and they didn't know what to do with him. And back then, I know it sounds like something out of a Catherine Cookson novel, you could get a doctor and a family member, and you could be signed into the local asylum or the county asylum in red ink, which meant you're never coming out again. And he was signed in, and he spent the next 40 years institutionalized because there was no AA. Doesn't our literature tell us? Jails, institutions are death. And thank God for Bill Wilson. We have AA now. I think to myself, even the story of AA in Ireland is powerful. In 1946, there was no AA in Ireland. Talk about the 12th step carrying this message. Connor Flynn went home for a vacation. He owned a bar in Philadelphia. He was 2 years sober. He went home to Dublin. He realized there was no AA. He wrote a letter to General Service, and I said, well, why don't you start a meeting? And there's a thing called a startup kit, a few books and pamphlets, they sent it over to Ireland. So he decides to stay and try to get a meeting started in Ireland. And he's getting nowhere. Puts an ad in the newspaper, it's going nowhere. And he's sitting in the Gresham Hotel in Dublin one Sunday morning. He just happens to talk to this woman at the next table. And he opens up, he just tells her, and she was like an Irish Henrietta Cyberly, and she goes, I know this doctor who works with alcoholics. The hospital called St. John of the Cross. So the guy takes himself, this guy's name was Connor Flynn, he takes himself to this hospital, he talks to this doctor. This doctor, this is in 1940, so this doctor's never heard of AA, working with alcoholics. He says, I'd never heard of AA, but we've got a guy down in one of the rooms here. We've detoxed him probably 20 times. There's times he's drunk on the way home from the hospital. He's a hopeless case. If you can talk to him, we'll see what we can do. So Connor Flynn went down to the guy, man in the bed. What I've tried to do this weekend, I don't know if I did. He tried, went down, sat by the man's bed, and shared his experience, strength, and hope. Now, the guy in the bed was a guy called Richard Percival. Richard Percival had been preached over. He was a hopeless case. He was a dead man walking, and he knew it. But this man was talking his language. Did Dr. Bob say that when he met Bill Wilson, the first human being he ever met that felt he fully understood him, and not because he read it in a book somewhere? And that's how Richard Percival got out of his bed that day, walked out of that hospital, And those two men started AA in Ireland. And Richard Percival never took another drink to the day he died in 1971. That's the power of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the power of one alcoholic, eyeball to eyeball, knee to knee, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And I think to myself, how blessed I am. You know, go back to Ireland in sobriety. I'm a great believer this weekend in the power of prayer. I was home one time, went back to Ireland, I was a few years sober. And my mother, my God, we're just telling Ed about this. My mother's in this, this is during the troubles. My mother's in this prayer group. They had these cross-community prayer groups where the women, not the men, the women would come together. Protestant women and Catholic women would come together and pray together for peace in Northern Ireland. And my mother says to me, would you like to come to the prayer group this weekend or this Wednesday? And I'm thinking, I'm a couple of years sober. Yeah, I'll go and help these people out, you know. Share my vast experience of prayer, meditation, and AA, you know, help them struggling along the road there. Oh, my God, talk about ignorance. I go to this prayer group, and the woman says to me, about forgiveness, AA, there's people practicing these principles out there who never had an alcoholic drink in their lives. It's funny how AA is. I work with a guy. He's a non-alcoholic. He helps people all day long. I work with him cheek by jowl. He's a regular guy. He helps people. I had to get beaten half to death by alcohol before. Okay, God, I'll help somebody else besides myself, you know. He does it naturally. I had to get, like, clubbed into doing it, you know. And I go to this little prayer group, these little beautiful ladies from both sides, ecumenical, both sides of the community. And the woman says to me, and we're talking here about forgiveness. She goes, we should have been here last week. We had two guest speakers. I says, really? She goes, yeah, we had a man that had gotten, and during the troubles, had planted a lot of bombs and bars and stuff. And sometimes they wouldn't get the warning through in time and their homemade stuff. And she goes, he was in a bomb blast in a bar and he lost both his arms. And he came here last week. And the man that came with him to go around speaking together was the man who planted the bomb. And they go around Northern Ireland, the guy who planted the bomb and the guy who lost his arms in the bomb, and they go around speaking for peace in Northern Ireland. I mean, these principles. Bill Wilson said, I didn't invent anything. I'm a plagiarist. I took these ancient principles. Unconditional love, forgiveness, getting over resentment. I just took them from different places and put them together in this beautiful package called the 12 Steps. And then one of the little old ladies says to me afterwards, she goes, you're Paul that lives in New York, you're Liz's son. I says, yes. She goes, every week at the prayer group at the end, we stand around. We stand around and they say, has anybody got any prayers that they want to offer up to the group? And every week your mother would say, we just pray for my drunken son in New York. I don't know where he is. I haven't heard from him in months. And that woman told me that, the power of prayer. Here's my mother 3,000 miles away on a Wednesday night in a little prayer group praying for her son who she doesn't know where he is. And I'm in the depths of my alcoholism. I'm sober today. My brother's sober today. And I know those prayers didn't go unanswered. Those little ladies from both sides of the community in Northern Ireland praying for a guy they don't know. And I'm standing here this morning, safe, sane, and sober. What a life. The two lives in one lifetime. And I was able to, with my mother and father, because of sobriety, brought my mother and father over here to America. My father was a train buff. Took him across from San Francisco on the Zephyr, right across America, through Chicago, in a sleeper car. Took my mother and father on 14-day cruises out of Fort Lauderdale. All because the program practiced these principles. going back to Ireland, good family vacations, my brother's sober now, we go to meetings together when I go over there. The golden memories of a sober life. I'll end on two stories. My daughter's in the little, she's into the theatre stuff, and we have a local theatre group in Rockaway Beach. And a few years ago, she got the lead role in the musical Legally Blonde. And I'm sitting there every night in the front row with a bunch of flowers. Now, I tell you that not for you to pat me in the back. If I was to tell the guy next door to me who's a non-alcoholic, you know, I was sitting in the front row every night with a bunch. He said, what do you want, a medal? But I tell you guys, you know, and I hope I don't forget, you put one drink in me. I'm not sitting in the front row. I'm sitting in some pub telling some new friend about my daughter that's in the show, but I ain't there. That's my record. I'm a no-show. There every night watching my daughter hit the back wall singing those solos. How does a guy get off a barroom floor to that? The only way I know is Alcoholics Anonymous. My youngest daughter, Dahlia, she was 4 years of age, and my wife got up and I sort of helped, but she did it all. She decorated the whole house like the Lion King. My daughter loved the Lion King. And she gets up that morning and she's like, and she put her hands up like this, like picked her up, and she whispered in my ear, she says, Daddy, I want to be four forever. I thought my heart was going to explode. The golden memories of a sober life. My other, Kristen, when she was over, you know this place, York Beach up in Maine. We're up there, there was a little park for kids. And we squeezed in, she was doing the first wheel. I squeezed in next to her on this little first wheel. Going around, when you got to the top, you could see York Beach. And it was a beautiful New England day, an azure sky, and just a hint of fall in the air. And all of a sudden, as kids do, you know, totally unsolicited, she goes at the top of the ride, Daddy, this is the greatest day of my life, and I love you so much. I thought to myself, I was looking for that in vodka. Alcohol promised, but it never delivered. This program, Use Man, this fellowship, promises and delivers, and promises and delivers. That's been my experience. Now, every day is not first rise and Legally Blonde, but I tell you, I've had a lot of good days, and there's low spots, there's certain low spots. I understand that. But my God, the good days that this sober life has given me. I tell you something, I'll end on this. When you're lying, like I was lying at 12 years sober on that gurney, or actually on the operating room table, and I thought I was going to die. You don't think about the money in the bank. You don't think about, did you have a 2024 car? You think about moments like that. Fourth birthday party. First, right? That's what you think about when you think you're checking out of here. And my God, this program, Use Man, have provided so much for that. So when you say, am I a happy customer in Alcoholics Anonymous? You better believe it. On the one end, on a prayer that sums up how I feel about you and how I feel about Use Man that I've come to know and love this weekend. And this is the Irish blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Thank you so much.